You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. We are broadcasting live from Dunfanaghy Golf Course, and the course is looking resplendent. If any of you are golf players, you will know potentially you've played here, but also you'd know it's not often that it's calm here, and it's calm here today. And teams are out taking part in the Ronald McDonald House Golf Classic. This event is raising funds for Ronald McDonald House. We're going to be joined in the not too distant future by Louise Quayle, who is from the Ronald McDonald House. We'll find out where this money is going, what it will go towards, and of course what their plans are in the context of the expansion, or sorry, the opening when it does actually happen, of the new children's hospital. So we'll hear more about that in a moment. Just want to let you know that Donegal County Council is advising that there will be road resurfacing works taking place on the Glenfin Road between Ballybuffet and Brocca today. Stop-go traffic control will be in place to control the traffic, and the works will be from Brocca Village and Glenmore Bridge. Now, ask the councillors, what did they do the last 40 years when the council was in charge of water, when there was no Uisce Éireann stroke Irish Water? It's a good question, actually, and perhaps one I should have asked. Hi, Greg. If memory serves me well, Michael McClafferty initially joined the protests against the privatisation of our water. Then he jumped ship to Fine Gael and pushed for privatisation of water. Now, his party, or he is partly to blame for the fiasco we have regarding Uisce Éireann. A caller says apprenticeships are often seen as less prestigious options than a university degree. There's a persistent perception that they're only for those who aren't academically inclined. This is what needs to change. Apprenticeship programs, which are primarily work-based, don't offer the same kind of social experiences. Young people are only interested in their social experience. I think, you know, if there is this notion, and this is why you will never hear the words on this program, skilled workers, referring to, you know, those who work in IT or what have you. Anyone who's working is skilled in the field that they're working in. And if you see someone, you know, laying bricks or putting together a roof or fixing an engine, these are all incredibly, incredibly highly skilled jobs. So we need to break that perception if it persists. Hi, Greg. I don't know what area Michael McClafferty is councillor in, but they're very lucky. He comes across as a very good and hard-working councillor and is always speaking up for the people. I wish there was a lot more like him. Great show, Greg, as always. Thank you. Caller says bins are not needed on the beach. You take the doggy bags home and bin it at home. But you see, the problem is you're a responsible dog owner, and that is what you do. We're not talking to you. We're talking to those that kick a bit of sand over the poo. Kids running along, gets it on their feet, and mums and dads know exactly what I'm talking about. Slaying on that topic, I've noticed the only people using doggy bags on our local beaches are tourists from the UK, where the law is enforced. Nobody local uses doggy bags when they are walking their dogs on the beach. Morning panel, my bin had to be emptied as normal during the week. When I went to bring it back down to the house, someone had emptied their own rubbish into it. Some people have no shame. Visitors should be taking their own rubbish home. It could have been a neighbour either, though. I know where you're coming from, but I wouldn't have the neck to do that. I really, really wouldn't. In relation to the office of the president, a caller believes the office requires a high degree of respect and moral authority. So far, no one meets that bar, says that listener there. Hi, can you ask both councillors what their view on the credit card issues at Donegal County Council is? Sorry, I didn't get to that. That was my intention. Hi, Highland Radio. In relation to the dog poo topic, people are so ignorant and close an eye to their dog going to the loo. I run a grooming business from home, and clients let their dogs poo at my door, in my yard, or in my office, and look at me in disbelief when I offer them a poo bag, or simply pretend they do not see their dog doing going to the loo. Totally unacceptable, no manners. Can you imagine going to a dog groomer's and your dog pooing outside and you just ignoring it? That's remarkable. Should the term for president be cut from 2 to 1? 7 years is long enough. I think 7 years is too long, honestly. If it's that important to roll, then it should be up for grabs far more regularly. Put it into the election cycle. Let's hold the presidential election at the same time as a general election, though. That being said, the dole doesn't always go full term, does it? A very well-known person visited Dunfanaghy yesterday and was greatly disappointed in all the old falling down buildings. They would need to start clearing up or they'll lose the tourists. Yeah, perhaps there is a bit of work required in that area, but there's still a lot of very, very popular, vibrant businesses in that area. Back to the presidential election. Nobody should vote any candidate in the presidential election that has links with Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil or Sinn Féin. When you look at the way Ireland is being managed by the government and the opposition, time people started to realise what's happening in Ireland. Good morning. What's the difference between dog poo and horse poo? Who's cleaning up after the horses? Thanks. I think it's about the prevalence of it, though. Yes, I've seen horse poo on beaches, but it's not left, right and centre and in towns and in parks, you know, all over the place. On the issue of deer should not be allowed to go to abattoirs without being tagged. We need to take a national census of deer. It's not rocket science. Also, people drive far too fast in Donegal. Yes, there is a speeding problem. And yes, how can we control a deer population when we don't know the population? It's crazy, isn't it? In the absence of natural predators like wolves, that's the issue. Well, where did the wolves go? We destroyed them. We took away their habitat. And you couldn't reintroduce wolves now because the habitat is not there for them. You know, are we in generations to come going to be criticised for the destruction of the deer population? I don't know. If we take away their habitat, kill them, who's to say? Another, we can build better fences and leave the poor deer alone. Tell the farmers to protect their farms more efficiently. Humans can be so cruel. Another, studies suggest that culling is not a solution. When a deer population is reduced, the remaining deer have more food available, leading to higher birth rates and a rebound in the population. Interesting insight. What kind of message are we sending to our children by murdering innocent animals? That comes in from Mark. Yeah, indeed. I mean, you know, start talking about culling seals, and many in the fishing industry, you know, might say that's not a terrible idea, but start talking about that and you'd be very heavily criticised. But we seem to be able to casually talk about the destruction of deer, and that's okay. Enjoy listening to Magella. She's very strong. Well done. Yes, lovely having Magella on, and hopefully she can make herself available to us more into the future. Back to deer. Red deer meat is being exported to France for profit, so the deer problem, in inverted commas, is exaggerated. So the exporters make more money. No high-pitched nonsense, as that would affect all animals and humans. Right, okay, lots and lots of you texting in this morning and calling in. Thank you very much indeed for that. I want to get to some requests, if I can. Please wish Marissa Gilday from Letterkenny a very happy birthday. That comes in from Yvonne McGinley. Please wish a happy birthday to Bridget McLaughlin in Buncrana from her sister Margaret. Happy birthday to Kira McGuigan. She's in Lifford. 7 today. Happy birthday, Kira, from your mum and dad. Please wish Tommy Rosny and his wife Margot. I don't know where I got Margaret from. Please wish Tommy and Margot a very happy 30th wedding anniversary from Tony and Madeline Porter in Leck Cottages. 38, brilliant milestone. Kenny Harkin was here a little earlier on. He's 40 year married recently, which is a long time, isn't it? Fair play to all. All right, now, just to let you know before I take a break and we welcome our next guests in, that we are giving away €2,500 on John Breslin's show. It's all part of our mega summer cash draw. Last Friday, $2,500 went to Volcara, not too far from where we're sitting right now. There's still €17,500 up for grabs. $2,500 today, $2,500 next week, and then a combination of two draws totaling €12,500 the following Friday. Now, you can be in all of those draws. It's not too late for you to enter, and we want to make it as easy as possible for you. Tickets are from €10. You buy five, you get them for €10. You can get one for €15. Of course, please only enter if you can do so within your means and have a punt. It could be you. The money invariably goes local, so we'll see what happens a little later on today. So how do you get your tickets? Go onto our website, highlandradio.com. You can buy them there. It's perfectly safe and secure. If you want to give us a ring at the station and make sure you're in all four draws and have four chances to win prizes ranging $2,500 to $10,000, then give give us a call at the radio station, 074 91 25000, or if you're about Letterkenny and you want to deal in cash, you can call into the station during office hours. But just to let you know, the window for you to enter all four draws is narrowing. Give us a call at the radio station, we'll get you in that draw drum, and that draw will be made live on John Bresson's Around the Northwest radio program a little later on today. Very welcome back to Dunfanaghy Golf Club. Today, the Ronald McDonald House Golf Classic is taking place. I'm told there are still two slots available, actually, 10 past 2 and 10 past 4. They're still available today for a round of golf. It's €150 for a team of four with food included. So very accessible for many of you out there today. Prices for first, second, third and fourth. Hey, wouldn't it be cool if you booked in, got an afternoon slot and come on and win the blooming thing. Right, okay, let's learn more about the club. Anthony Gallagher is club captain of Dunfanaghy Golf Club. Thanks so much for having us, Anthony. How are you keeping?
Greg, you're more than welcome to Dunfanaghy, and you and all your team, you're well known in the county, and it's great to see you here.
Yep, thank you very much indeed for that. And what a beautiful club you have here. I was saying a little earlier on, how often would you get it where you're teeing off in still weather, not a breeze of wind?
Yeah, the regular golfers here will not know what's hitting them because it's just so quiet.
Probably Sean Quinn's 3-iron, yeah, when he throws it from
No, we were just chatting to a few visitors that had come today for the round of golf, and some from Dunnings, and they're amazed that they haven't seen any wind in Dunfanaghy today, which will make it far more pleasant. We've had great weather this last number of days, very, very enjoyable, but we hadn't as quiet as this weather-wise. It's lovely to see it.
I think there's still this perception out there that golf is a rich person's sport, or it's for people from sort of certain sections of society. A lot of that's been broken down now, but I mean, it is a incredibly accessible sport, and you know, we've got amazing golf courses in this county alone, not least this one here. But do you think there still is some work to do to sort of get people in who sort of think, well, you know, it's not really for my, I'm not the type?
Well, golf is for everybody. We're lucky enough to have a good beginners program here, run by a number of the club members. And we in Dunfanaghy like to see everybody. Golf is very accessible to everybody. I know some clubs may be very hard to get into, but we are more than welcoming to visitors and to new members. It's great to see anybody coming to enjoy themselves and to enjoy the course.
What stands out for you about the course here in Dunfanaghy?
We're very lucky to have a really good greenkeepers.
Yeah.
They're here quite a while, and we're also linked up with Paul McGinley and Joe Bedford, who are giving us some direction as well. Dunfanaghy is known for his greens. As Paul McGinley, the golfer, always said, that Dunfanaghy greens are as good as the British Open, and yeah, so they are. We're very, very lucky to have the greens.
And he is a fantastic advocate for Donegal, of course. He played quite a lot here, didn't he? And we note, too, that any opportunity he has, he's involved with quite a few courses around Merver anyway, certainly in here, but also to platform our offering whenever he gets the opportunity on that international stage he has.
Without a shadow of a doubt, we can't speak highly enough about Paul McGinley. He's a great advocate for our club. His father come from up in the town, and it's great to see that he actually played for the club in his youth, and matches along with the late Jimmy Brogan, may God be rest him, and it's great to see that our club has been recognised internationally.
There's a resilience to links courses, isn't there, that makes them very accessible all year round for the most part?
That's for sure. Donegal is lucky in the number of links courses that it has. There's countries around the world that don't have even one links course. We're lucky in Donegal. We have so many links courses, and they're such in good condition at the present moment.
Yeah, for sure. I'm also joined by the lady captain, Daphne Tees. Good morning to you, Daphne. Thanks so much for having us here.
Thank you.
How are you keeping?
Oh, great, great.
Brilliant stuff. This club is, I'm not saying it's unique, but certainly it's very notable how sort of inclusive it is in terms of, you know, men and women. It's a very sort of, you know, by culture, very mixed kind of a group, isn't it?
Yes. We're now structured under the most modern structure that Golf Ireland advocate, which is the One Club. So we have a very good management committee, which stays in place up to 3 to 5 years. And that gives us a stability in terms of our operations, in terms of our financial structures, and in terms of our management structures, managing staff and all that other thing, which is a great thing for the staff as well. I wouldn't like to be working for a different boss every year. So separately then, Anthony is captain of the men's section and I'm captain of the women's section. And we're an equal opportunity club. We have equal status in the club under the management committee for operational things. And that works very well. As well as that, we have, I think, a USP in the area, in this area, in that we have a very strong member focus with quite a lot of opens as well for visitors during the high season and even during the off season. And we welcome winter members from neighbouring clubs, and we're very friendly with our neighbouring clubs.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Sometimes, you know, golf or golf clubs can seem quite cliquey. It's really particularly noticeable around here that it is not like that, whether you're a member, a visiting member, or on holiday, or, you know, travelling from down the country to play.
That's right. In open competitions, we welcome everyone. And we have our open weekend. The men have quite a lot of open competitions, and we run particular open competitions like Play in Pink, where we had a very successful fundraiser this year. Also, the ladies, and I'm just focusing here on the ladies' club. A lot of our ladies do not come from the local area. Excuse me, quite a few do, but we would have them from all over the country, north and south. And we're very, you know, very integrated. It's nearly north-south cooperation. You can bring lots of things into it. But we're a very small, friendly club. And one of the things we have concentrated in the Women Stroke Ladies Club is that we make sure that we welcome, even on the tee lines, you know, that it's open. Mm. You play with different people every week. People join you. It's not the same four ball all the time. And that creates a collegiate spirit. And, you know, it also supports the fact that because we're a small club, we need volunteers. And the volunteers, that's how you bring volunteers into the club.
Yeah, I'll come back to you. Colm Donaghy's the chairperson here at Dunfanaghy Golf Club. And yes, it is small, perhaps, in comparison to other other clubs, Colm. But the facilities, the quality of the course, for an example, this building here, the parking spaces, the green areas, you don't get that impression, you know what I mean? It doesn't come across like a small club.
No, and quite recently we opened a new driving range as well. So we have facilities here which are second to none. And we've encouraged the local community to become involved as well. So, for example, we believe that moving forward, part of the future for us are junior members, young people coming through to play golf. So we've linked in with local schools, and local schools now use the driving range. Young people become interested in golf, and that promotes membership for the club and sustainable membership. Now, the driving range is also called the McGinley Golf Academy. So again, Paul McGinley has been instrumental in assisting us in actually driving forward that facility as well. And on the course, as Anthony said earlier, we work with McGinley Golf Design, which their director of agronomy is Joe Bedford. And Joe advises us on the condition of the fairways and the greens, which has helped our greenkeepers to maintain a really high standard of grass across the entire course.
Yeah, and it's one of those sports too, you know, if you get a golf club into, you know, 10 young people's hands and they hit a sweet shot, you know that feeling? You know you're going to capture half of them.
Absolutely.
Or maybe it's not half, maybe it's more, maybe it's less. But yeah, my point is that's the significance of having the driving range, because once they hear that click, and of course it's very accessible now as a TV sport and what have you, yeah, you know, you can grab them early and lead them into a life of, you know, exercise, competition, community.
Yeah, and it's no accident that since we've opened the driving bays, our junior section has become more vibrant. And we've actually working closely with Michael McGeady, who's a professional golfer, who's helping both our gigs, our women getting into golf, and our juniors as well. And that's actually promoted, if you like, a bug amongst some of our younger people to become more involved. And we've now got a very vibrant women's section as well. So that, for us, is the future and will make golf sustainable here within Dunfanaghy.
In terms of, though, you know, structural developments, I mean, obviously, you know, you're always looking at, you know, if a hole needs to be shortened, extended, or green moved, or whatever. But you have a lovely clubhouse here. I'm not sure what is there. Like, what are the plans going forward? Is it about people or other infrastructural plans as well? Because to my eye, it looks like you've got everything to a T here, pun intended.
Yeah. Well, what we intend to do is to develop the course further. And again, that's with the assistance of Paul McGinley Golf Design. And we're going to improve the course from a par 68, which it currently is, to a par 71 within the next year to 2 years. We currently have applied for planning permission with Donegal County Council, and we're waiting to hear the outcome of that within the next week to 2 weeks. And then we will have a
very exciting
fundraising
drive.
Very exciting time for us, yeah.
And coastal erosion, is that an issue for you guys here?
It hasn't really been. There are a couple of holes out further out towards our 8th hole.
And you want
hole.
Paul McGinley designing the holes, not the sea light, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. And in fact, one of those holes, the 8th green, was suffered from spray from the sea.
Yeah.
So we're moving part of the design in the new course is to move that green further to the right, so it won't be affected by that.
Daphne, what would you say to, you know, ladies listening here? And I know women, and it's the same with men, who've been playing since they were, you know, 12 with their dad or mom, but also those that started picking up golf when they've got a little bit more time. You know, maybe their children are reared, or they've headed off to college. They have a bit more time for themselves. Would you encourage them to have a go at golf, take it up and see how they get on?
Oh, totally. Excuse me, totally. I only took up golf in my mid-50s. And, you know, it's tough when you're working full-time and your family and housework and husbands, they all need maintenance.
Husbands?
Husbands. No, a husband. I'm talking generally here. Well, that's a good one, though. Anyway, you know, and I find that, you know, I've been working with the Get Into Golf program for the women this year, and it's the same thing. You know, they're ferrying children and they're doing all sorts of things, but it's you'll carry it with you. It's a great sport to play with your husband. It's, you know, we play golf together all the time, so it's a great way of playing golf with your husband, if you have one, or your partner or whatever, and getting out and meeting people. Yeah. And we really in Dunfanaghy focus on the fact that it's not all golf, all about golf. It's about the social aspect as well.
Yeah, for sure. And once you lose that, I think you maybe stop enjoying it. You know, it's great to be playing great, and it's great to get your handicap down, but you have to enjoy it.
Our new pro, I can't say enough about him. He's been so supportive with the girls, and they're all doing great stuff.
Anthony, I think it's not just because we had the Open not so long ago, but generally speaking, you know, the golf product, its stock is rising across Ireland, not least here in the Northwest. We need to keep that momentum going, as opposed to clubs like this benefit and all the other amazing clubs we have. We are blessed, really, really. And I'm not just saying that. I mean, anyone who knows anything about golf listening to this knows that we've got, you know, some of the best countries in the some of the best clubs in the countries in this one county.
Without a shadow of a doubt, Greg, I think we have about 21 golf clubs in Donegal at the present moment. All are welcoming to everybody that comes, as great to see people come in from all parts of the world, even America or Europe. We're very lucky to have. We've had some fantastic visitors coming from other parts of the world here, and they are quite amazed that the wee gem we have here, especially around that bottom part of the course. Just one wee story. We had a couple of Americans here. I met them and invited them here, and they were playing golf down to the sixth, and they stopped playing golf 7, 8, 9 and 10. They just took pictures. That's all they did. They couldn't believe it. So we have
we take it for granted.
We have a wee gem here that we should promote far more, and not only this course but other courses as well.
Well, I think it's clear through the three of you, you have the passion and the talent to get the message out there, no doubt. Anthony Gallagher, club captain of Dunfanaghy Golf Club, thank you so much.
Thank you, Greg.
Daphne Tees, lady captain, thank you. Where are you in terms of your captaincy? Are we in the middle? Are you at the beginning? Or?
I've had my lady captain's day, and we had a very successful away day to our Rosapenna yesterday, and by the autumn we'll have our AGM, and that'll be the year.
Yeah, you want? Can you go
it's
again?
It's a calendar year.
Can you go again?
Well, you know,
I don't like how ferociously Colin shaking his head. This is very concerning.
My response would be, in response to the totally lovely ladies in Dunfanaghy, is that sometimes it's manners to wait until you're asked. Yeah. But you know, it wouldn't frighten me as much as it did the first time.
You know what? We're talking about captain of the golf club, not the presidency. I feel like we're doing the same thing all over again. All right, listen.
Anyway, that's good.
And last but not least, Colm Donaghy Club Chair. Thanks so much indeed. All right, brilliant stuff. So I suppose the purpose of that conversation is to try and break any myths out there that, it's like any sport. You need you need some tools, right? But you can get them together handy enough to... and it is very, very accessible. Welcome back. We are broadcasting live today from Dunfanaghy Golf Club as we travel around the county a little bit when we can here on the show, given that it is the summer, though we seem to be at the tail end. We're joined in our little studio here in the clubhouse by Aisling Arnold, who is chair of the Donegal branch of the Irish Hotels Federation and general manager of Arnold's Hotel in Dunfanaghy. Good morning.
Good morning, Greg.
How are you keeping?
Very well, thank you.
Of course, you've got a wonderful little new arrival, so you've an awful lot of plates to keep spinning.
Absolutely, but it's positive plates to keep spinning, and it's
Isn't
lovely.
Isn't it good?
Yeah.
And thanks so much for sparing the time to come and chat to us. And also Carolyn Murray, Director and General Manager at the Shandon Hotel and Spa. Lovely to see you again, Carolyn.
Good morning,
Carolyn.
Greg.
How are you keeping?
Good, thanks for having me.
So how's the tourism season been as a whole, Carolyn? I mean, we're still in it, right? But, I mean, how's it fared?
We're still in it. I mean, it's tough, Greg. As you know, like hospitality, it's the cost of doing business has risen significantly. We are, you know, fairly busy. Not as busy as previous years. Obviously, the cost of living crisis and that is definitely affecting our domestic tourists. And obviously, managing profit margins, which are quite tight at the minute. But we're doing our best, and we're happy to be in the throes of it at the minute.
Yeah, but you like a lot of hotels, but I think, some hotels stand out more in other ways, is to try and sort of diversify the product, keep things fresh, come up with different initiatives, right? Well, you know, maybe there's a space there where we can promote this. That yeah. Like it's constantly coming up with the next idea, I would imagine.
Well, you have to be strategic in rural coastal areas. So obviously you can see Dunfanaghy is a beautiful place. We've so much tourist attractions here in the summertime, and we've had a good summer this year with the weather. But come the wintertime, we have to be very, very strategic, and we have to come up with our own tourist attractions, such as our magical Christmas winter wonderland. If we didn't have that, it would be very quiet around these parts in the winter. So that's the concern this year, is that we need to be on the ball in terms of how busy we're going to be, because the cost of doing business has risen.
Yeah, winter initiatives like that, and that one in particular, have proved incredibly popular. I mean, you have a hotel that's, you know, full in the depths of winter. Mm-hmm. Why do you think it's proven so popular year on year?
I think we have worked on the product offering year on year and listened to our customers and what they enjoyed. And each year we've added to the experience and added to the value of the experience. And we like to think that ours is very magical in the sense that Santa comes to the room and he knows the children's names. And then they go down to Mrs. Claus's cabin and she does interactive storytelling with them through the magical winter wonderland walkthrough, Narnia, Candy Cane Lane. And we've different themes every year too that we change up, such as The Grinch was last year, and I'm not allowed to tell everyone what the theme is this year just yet.
All right, brilliant stuff. And in terms of extending the season, the shoulders, they call it, I think, do you anticipate that the season will be any longer this year? You know, I mean, some places it seems to run to Halloween, effectively.
It's going to be tougher this year because of the cost constraints on our consumer. So we're a bit worried that... It's going to be slightly less busy this year, but we're doing our best to remain competitive in the market and to ensure that we're open through all the seasons.
And Aisling Arnold, I mean, obviously as a proprietor, but also as, chair of the Donegal branch of the Irish Hotels Federation, is that the feedback you're getting back from members? What are the greatest challenges? And of course, Carolyn, there's highlighted some of them, but across the sector.
Absolutely, Greg. And I think Carolyn, as you rightly said, has touched on the main points there. The ever-rising costs that we've been incurring over the last 36 months have just made business exceptionally tough. And, you know, that's been felt throughout the entire island of Ireland, unfortunately, at the moment. And it's no secret that we've been, you know, calling for the them to restore the 9% VAT, and I think that's essential that they do that with no delay, as promised, on the 1st of January 2026.
How frustrating is that? Because those who oppose it are using the very emotive topic of gouging from Dublin and city mm-hmm. hotels, right? I'm not going to get into whether or not they're gouging, but that perception is there. And that's kind of being used, I think, really as an excuse not to lower the 9%, which doesn't really reflect what some hotels are doing down there, doesn't reflect the hotel experience in this country. I wonder how we can overcome that.
I think that's a very good word used there. It's the perception. And I think, you know, if we look at Ireland as a whole, there's huge value for money out there throughout the season and throughout the year, and I think that's very important for people to remember. I think it's also, you know, crucial that people take into consideration, you know, price increases throughout businesses throughout Ireland over the last 24 to 36 months have been, you know, essential. It's certainly not something that we want to be doing as business owners or managers ourselves, but at the end of the day, we need to keep our doors open, we need to keep employment, and we want to remain to keep the level of employment that we have throughout the year. And in order for us to do that, unfortunately, we have to increase our prices.
Well, we don't have the footfall that you can stick a fiver on a main course for the crack.
Absolutely not. And the key for us is, you know, and speaking to restaurateurs, you know, hoteliers, people in business in general, you know, we're really feeling the pinch of this. You know, we want to be competitive. We want to be a place where people come and say they had a really good time, they enjoyed the experience, and it was, you know, they had got value for money. You know, the pressure's now being put back on the business owners in relation to that to be able to sustain that level of competitiveness, which we tried to do. However, as I just pointed out, we can't continue to do that if we're going to incur significant costs year on year, which are being piled on top of us. And then on top of that, our VAT rate is completely out of line with the rest of Europe, completely out of line. So, you know, if you look at the likes of Germany, very recently have just reduced their VAT rate from 18% down to 7%, okay, on food-related services, okay? And the reason that they have done that is because they can see the value that tourism and hospitality have in their country.
But what would concern me if I was a hotelier is the fact that the 9% VAT reduction versus income tax reductions was pitched out. That kite was flown effectively, right? Mm-hmm. And then next thing you know, there's a bit of a public backlash and all of a sudden the government's saying, well, we need to have a look at this now. I think that was quite tactical, and I think I don't endorse it, but clever tactics from the government, if the truth be told. But I heard a government rep on recently saying, you know, businesses, if they have to close, they have to close. We can't support every business. We need to, you know, give tax cuts to the people. They seem to have decided that there's this small pot of money that's either tax cuts for regular folk or the 9%. And I don't understand how those two things have ended up being lumped in unless you don't want to reduce the VAT rate to 9%. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. I think, you know, it definitely comes full circle. And I think, you know, this is a kind of a never-ending battle. And I think what is essential here is, you know, businesses closing their doors is reducing employment, and it's going to increase the people on the live register, which is something obviously the government are obviously trying to steer away from. So, you know, they need to look at the bigger picture here. The rural villages here, and Carolyn just mentioned this, you know, the seasonality here of this area. We have worked exceptionally hard as two businesses to, you know, remain open year round, and that's to create employment and to allow people to have a stable job year round. And without this, you know, the reduction of the VAT, without the government stepping in to look at the costs of doing business, we're not going to be able to do that. And to answer your question, then in turn is going to have a knock-on effect with that issue as well.
But of course, and the economy in Donegal is different because we have a massive amount of people involved in the hospitality sector. And Carolyn, a hotelier told me once that their electricity bill for a hotel, and I was like flabbergasted, and I thought, right, that's a lot of 150s or 180s or whatever the room might cost to pay that bill. And there are costs that are excessively high in this country as well, like electricity, you know, that you have to absorb 12 months of the year. You really do need, I'm sure you would be of the view, you know, some support from the state in staying in business. Because if we lose hotels, if we lose pubs, what is our offering? You know, what is the tourism industry on the West Coast?
Particularly Donegal, Greg, because I think we've 8,000 livelihoods that the tourism and hospitality support. And obviously a lot of rural towns and villages like Dunfanaghy, where, you know, we employ 145 staff all year round. And that would be a significant impact to an area like this if we had to close in the winter. Thankfully, we won't. And I mean, what people need to understand too is we don't make money in the wintertime. We're just supporting jobs. So it's a fine line now for us in the tourism industry. If we don't get the support from the government on all those fronts, it's not going to be favourable.
Yeah, but with all that being said, and to finish on a positive, there's lots of people around, you know, the businesses are doing well, but it's not all are doing well, but it's too hard to do it. You know what I mean? It should be a little bit easier, shouldn't it? And you should feel that you're getting more support to do the work you're doing, supporting those jobs, having that tourism office offering, Aisling.
Oh, absolutely. And I think you're right. Dunfanaghy has had a very busy season, and the weather certainly has really helped that. And I feel that, you know, when people have a positive experience here, they come back, they tell other people, and, you know, we're creating a hive here of, you know, popularity amongst the, you know, the customers that are travelling here to Dunfanaghy. You know, we're very lucky. I think I always think myself, if I'm going on holidays, I want to go somewhere that we have, you know, the option of stepping outside our hotel and going to bars, restaurants. Dunfanaghy has it all. We literally walk outside the front door of Arnold's there, and you have so many choices of with five different bars within the village. We have, you know, restaurants, craft shops, water sports for adults and children. Walk down the road to the golf club here, you know, so there's so many positive things here, and we don't want to lose that. We certainly don't want to start regressing in terms of how we've you know, grown over the last 10 years. And I think that is what's the key message here. We want to remain open year round. We want to create employment as well as retaining employment, and we want our customers to be able to come to Dunfanaghy year round when they feel like it. In particular, our domestic NI market, they'll hop in the car, come down to maybe their holiday home, and they'll use all of our services. For sure. So it's important.
And yeah, because a lot of work was put in to get us to this point, and you certainly don't want, it wasn't always like this, so you certainly don't want to undo it. And finally, Carolyn, obviously, you know, this is a beautiful part of the world to go as a destination, but it's a fantastic springboard for experiencing, you know, Donegal, be it, you know, even it's not that far really, I suppose, if you want to head to Tory Island, but the West, Letterkenny is only half an hour up the road. You know what I mean? It's a good central location too, and I'm sure you see that an awful lot with your guests.
Oh, it's amazing. And we have some guests from the TBEX conference coming in, and the choice that we had in terms of Crawley Distillery, Glenbay National Park, you know, the beautiful coastal drives on the Wild Atlantic Way. The choice is so vast that we are finding it really difficult to whittle down a 3-day itinerary. I mean, it's just a beautiful area, as you know.
Not a bad complaint, is it? Okay, listen, anything you want to add, Aisling? I think we've covered most of it, haven't we? I mean, I think really the key thing is that, you know, whilst we have to recognise where the gaps are and where the supports are needed there, I think it's a credit to the likes of yourselves and everyone in the tourism industry here that are keeping it going as it is, that it's so attractive to come here and to eat out and to, you know, to party or whatever you want to do, or tour, you know. Okay, Aisling Arnold, Chair, Donegal Branch of the Irish Hotels Federation, and General manager of the lovely Arnold's Hotel in Dunfanaghy, and there is a lot going on in Dunfanaghy, and no better place to stay. And of course, just up the road, Carolyn Murray, Director and General Manager of the Shandon Hotel and Spa. That's another side of the business as well, another offering, Carolyn. Thanks so very much for calling.
Thank you so much.
We really do appreciate your time. Okay, we'll be back with more in the 9 till noon show live here from Dunfanaghy Golf Club in just a couple of moments.
Highland Radio weather updates with McElhinney's. Get back to school sorted with all the essentials from school jumpers to shoes. Visit our kidswear department in store or shop online at McElhinney's.com today.
Okay, so we are in Dunfanaghy here, and it's lovely and mild. It's dead calm. It is overcast, but that's grand. It is going to be a mostly dry day today with just a few isolated light showers around. It'll, however, be rather cloudy overall with just limited bright or sunny spells. Highest temperatures of 7 to 19 degrees. Right, you don't have very long now if you want to enter our cash draw, by the way. John Breslin's giving away €2,500. There's another €2,500 being given away next Friday, then the following Friday, and €10,000 on that last Friday. So four draws in total. If you want to be in today's draw and the other three draws, please give us a call right now, 074 91 25,000. We'll process your entry, give you your number, and that number goes straight into the physical draw drum, by the way, and you'll be able to watch that draw live on John's show a little bit later on. Tickets are €15 individually. You can buy five, and they're €10 per ticket at that stage, and you can put your own name on five times, five different names, whatever your choice is. Obviously only enter if you have the spare resources to have a little bit of fun and be in with a chance of winning $17,500 over the next 3 weeks. Our website, highlandradio.com, or as I say, give us a call on 074 91 25,000. Katrina says on Facebook, well done Dunfanaghy Golf Club on doing this event today. My uncle Bernard Hanlon, rest in peace, was a member of this club for years, and he was a very proud member of this club with his many friends doing what he loved, playing golf, one of his many hobbies. Lovely. And I'm glad that we were able to trigger such a fond memory for you, and thank you for sharing it with us as well. So there is a golf competition ongoing at the moment, and it is to raise money for Ronald McDonald House. And coming up after 11 o'clock, we are going to be speaking to some representatives of Ronald McDonald House, finding out, you know, where the things are at the moment, the types of services that are available, those that are availing of them, what the plans for the future are. And I suppose, too, that has to be in the context of the eventual opening of the new Children's Hospital as well.